All right, let's go to the book of Matthew, Katamathion. We're going to look at the book of Matthew. We're going to tie the Old and the New Testament together today. Prophecy. How many of you know what prophecy means? What's the word prophecy means?
Telling of the future. Telling of the future.
It means to say before. It tells the future before it happens. All right? Tells the future before it happens. Matthew, the second chapter. All right? This is a fulfilled prophecy. Okay? Fulfilled prophecy. From the Old Testament. We're going to look at it. All right? Matthew 2. We're going to study just a little bit. We're going to find out. We're going to look at some people in the Bible. Okay? Matthew chapter 2. Are you there, Dr. John?
Yes.
All right. 2 and verse 1.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying...
All right. Hold on right there. The wise men from the east. They're called the Magi. Okay? The Magi. Who were they? Who were the Magi? Do we ever have any other place in the Bible where we have a Magi mentioned? Daniel was acquainted with these, his prophecy. He said when they were going to be born and everything else, you know, the book of Daniel tells some things about it. But was there anybody else in history that was a Magi?
Oh,
I mean, you hear, he's mentioned in the New Testament several times. Huh? Come on, you guys. Where's that David this morning? He's supposed to be here figuring this stuff. No. No. End of the Magi. All right, the Magi. All right, go back to Numbers. Go back to the book of Numbers. That's where we've been studying, you know. We've been studying Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All right? The five books of Moses. All right?
What does Deuteronomy mean, Jim?
What?
What does Deuteronomy mean?
The second law. Uh-huh. Deuteronomy. Second law. What?
Numbers what?
Numbers. The 24th chapter. I even got it written up here. See there? Numbers 24. We're going to look at this. This guy is a Magi that's talking here. This is a Magi. Okay? He's one of them. All right? Tell me about him. Who is he?
They're astrologers.
Uh-huh. We're going to go back here and look at this just a little bit. Sister Andino, who is he? Who is this guy? Huh? This is Balaam. Balaam.
The guy rode the horse.
Balaam is a Magi. Balaam was a seer. All right? And his prophecy is the one that led them to Bethlehem. Actually, to Jerusalem. Okay? Let's go back here. And let's look at 24:16 through 19. Brother Wally, are you there?
Yep.
All right, read number 16 for me.
He has said, who heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High? Who saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open?
All right.
I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. That shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise.
Are you in 17, brother?
In verse 17.
Okay, hold on just a minute. All right. Hold on. Go back to verse 16. Brother Luis, you've got the Sacred Name Bible in your hand?
Yes.
All right. Now, it's not as good here as it is in other places. But let's look and see what it says there about the names of God. Now, this is Balaam speaking. You know, you ever heard about Balaam's ass? Huh? And you talk about dumbass? You know, you heard of that before? The dumbass spoke? That's where the term came from. Balaam was a prophet. He was a Magi. All right? And they asked him, Balak asked him to come and curse Israel. Well, God overruled him and inspired him to say this. And remember when he was going there? The donkey wouldn't go.
The fiery sword, the angel of
the and the and he beat the tar out of the donkey, and the donkey started talking to him. How many of you have heard that story? All right, yeah. That's Balaam. This is the same Balaam, all right? Brother Louise. 16, yeah.
The oracle of one hearing saints of El.
Of El.
And knowing the knowledge of the Most High.
El Elyon.
With the sight of the Almighty received in vision.
El Shaddai.
Who falls down but has unveiled eyes.
Yeah. See, he's using the names of God there. He uses El, which is God, El. El Elyon, the Most High, and El Shaddai, the Almighty. He uses all these terms right here. He is using the names of God, addressing his attributes, all right? And this is Balaam now. How many of you ever heard a sermon preached on Balaam's prophecies? Anybody? All right? Every now and then. Well, anyway, this is Balaam's prophecy, and it's a pretty sound prophecy. Now, number 17, okay? Number 17, let's look at number 17. Now, he's saying that he got the prophecy, and he says, now, Balaam would go out. This is what these magi did. They would go out there and look at the stars. They'd go out on mountaintops. And if you go back and you look there in the book of Numbers, 23 and 24, down through this place, you'll find out Balaam's going out and doing all these things. And Balak tries every way in the world. They get out there and they said, sacrifice seven bullocks and all of seven, the number seven, you know, trying to appease Jehovah against Israel. It's what they're trying to do. And every time that and Balak said, well, let's go to a different mountain. Let's go to a different mountain. They went up on Mount Pisgah and looked down on Israel, the whole camp of Israel. And one time he went down and looked, he couldn't see all of it. He said, well, go back in another place. Let's look at it from another place. Let's see if you can curse them now. And it kept going on. He said, I can't curse them. He said, before I went into trances. Now let's go look at that just for, that's what they call mantua mene. Acts the 16th chapter. Acts the 16th chapter. Verse 16. Now hold your place back there in the book of Numbers now. This is what Balaam usually did. Okay? If you go back on Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal. Baal Peor. The prophets of Baal. Okay? They would go into a frenzy and they would totally be out of their heads. Okay? And they would receive this revelation and they would speak it in an unearthly and otherworldly language is what they called it. And then one of the prophets there would interpret it. Okay? Acts 16th chapter, verse number 16. Brother Mike.
And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, having a spirit of divination.
All right, the word spirit of divination. Look over there in the column there and tell me what that means. Some of you. The spirit of what?
Great snake.
Nahash in Hebrew. In Greek is pithona. What word from pithona do you think would have in English?
Python.
What is python? That's a big snake. I'll say, so where is this spirit coming from?
Satan.
From the devil. From Nahash. In 3 and verse 1, if you take 3 and verse 1, Marilyn, when I played that Hebrew tape yesterday, I said, tell me what chapter this is. And I played it like that, and he said, Nahash, like that. And she said, that's the snake. You know, Genesis 3 and verse 1. All right. Let's go on a little bit further now.
Having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling.
All right. She was the same type of person that Balaam was, and the Magi. All right, these are the same people. Now let's go back to Numbers. Now Balaam was in the habit of doing this, but God overruled his regular ecstasies that he'd go into in the Septuagint. It is a mantumene, temporary madness, ecstasy. He said, I'm normally doing this in an ecstasy, but right now, with my eyes right closed, they would go up to the mountains and they'd look at animals. Remember when over there in the book of Genesis and Exodus there where Joseph had the plate where they interpreted? They would put livers They take animals and look in their livers. All right, remember, you know, when we talked about that. And they would look into this and see. They'd watch ants. They'd watch birds fly. They'd listen to them, speak to them. They interpreting the chirp of birds. All of this. Okay? That was the Magi. Okay? Brother Mike.
If the Magi were empowered by satanic forces or something, why would they pay homage and travel to when Christ was born?
We're going
to
figure that one out. Okay. That's previews of coming attractions, brother. Let's go back now. All right. To Matthew 2 and verse 2. All right, we have the Magi, Herod the king. Behold, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, what did they say, Brother John?
Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.
All right, we've seen his star from the east and we've come to worship him. These are the Magi now. Go back to the book of Numbers. Back to the book of Numbers again. All right. Let's read that. Now, we in number 16, we know that Balaam says he's no longer in his temporary madness. He's no longer looking at things, looking in livers or listening to birds chirp or anything else. He's but with my eyes closed. In Hebrew, it's real good. He said, with my eyes closed, I am seeing. With my eyes closed, I am seeing, and my revelation is from El Elyon, El, and El Shaddai. All right? Now, verse number 17, Brother Mike, are you back there?
I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob.
A what?
A star.
A star. Shall come forth from what?
Jacob.
All right. Now, this is Balaam's prophecy now. Okay. Go on.
And a scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and tear down all the sons of Sheth.
All right. He goes on and he tells about everything that's going to happen in the future. It doesn't happen right then. It's in the future. All right. So a star shall come out of Jacob. All right. Now let's go back to Genesis 49. Yes, Sister Andino.
He's talking about Jesus.
Yes. This is Jesus. Now, where did Balaam live? Where did the Magi live? Mesopotamia. All right. Babylonian area in Mesopotamia. That's where Daniel got over there too. Daniel got acquainted with these, and they heard Daniel's revelation. Okay? Now, Moses is writing down. How many books did Moses write?
Five
books. How many of you can name them? All right. Bereshith? Shemot? What are they? All right. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All right. Okay. We've got these books now. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We have these books. Okay. Moses wrote these books. Now, Moses, the rabbis, you know, we have a lot of history from the rabbis, the rabbinical writings. Okay. The rabbis tell us that Balaam, when he got through making this prophecy and Balak wouldn't pay him, he said, you know what Balaam did? What did Balaam do when he gave him all these prophecies? What was the action that Balaam did? Huh? Have you ever seen any of these movies, in the Middle East movies, and when the king is sitting on the throne or whatever, he's up there squatting on his little pillows or whatever, and he goes... Ever seen them do that? And boy, everybody scatters. Huh? Have you seen that? That's what Balak did. He said, he slapped his hands together and he said, no more. I don't want to hear no more of it. All right? And he wouldn't pay Balaam. He offered him. Balaam said, if you gave me your house full of gold and silver and everything else and silks and whatever you can throw in there, I couldn't change what I'm going to say. God had control of him, not the spirit of Mantua Mene, but the spirit God, Ruah Elohim. Okay, spirit God had him, not his normal matic raving. Okay, let's go on now. Number 17. All right, let's look at number 17 again. In Numbers 24 and 17. Joseph. What? Well, okay, we're going to go to Genesis 2. Yeah. Read 17, and then we're going to go to the book of Genesis. Genesis 49, 8 through 12. Let's read it, and we're going to see how similar it is. Okay? Can you read?
I have number
17. You got number 17? Go ahead and read 17.
Numbers, right?
Yeah.
I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and better the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of Tumah.
Okay, now let's go to Genesis 49 and verse 8.
Tumah.
All right, 49 verse 8. Keep this one in your head. 49 and 8. Genesis 49 8. Are you there, Brother Floyd?
I'm there.
Okay, 49 and 8.
Judea, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemy. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judea is a lion whelp. From your prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion. And as a lioness, who dares rose him up. 18?
Yeah. No, 8 through 12.
The scepter shall not depart from Judea, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and to him shall be the obedience of the people.
All right. 49, 8 through 12. Does the thing sound just a little bit similar? All right. Who? What was this now? What? You know, when you read a verse in the Bible, what do? How do you interpret?
Who's speaking?
Who's speaking there? Who's speaking?
Jacob.
This is that deathbed blessing. All right. This is a blessing that he's blessing his children on his deathbed now. Who's he speaking about? And two, he's speaking to his son, Judah. All right? Now, what's the subject? The coming of the Messiah. All right. The coming of the Messiah. Isaiah 63, 1 through 4. Isaiah 63. Did you read all the way through from 8 through 12?
No.
Okay. Go on. Let's go back and read all the way.
Binding his foal to the vine, and his ass's colt to the vine. He washes his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk.
All right. Now, is that all the way through 12? All right. Now, here we have this. Now, Isaiah 63. We're going to find. Now, this is Balaam's prophecy, okay? Balaam commented some on what Jacob has said, and God inspired Balaam. Now, Balaam's prophecy was inspired of God. Balaam would not have known. He didn't even know what he was talking about. I started to tell you a while ago, when Balak wouldn't have anything else to do with him, they say he went to Moses, and he gave Moses this prophecy, and he wanted Moses to pay him. You know what Moses said? Beat it. Get out of here. Go on, you heathen prophet. God used you for a minute. You magi. All right. Now, Isaiah 63. Who's got Isaiah 63? Have you got that, young man? 63?
Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah?
All right. Now, in Numbers, did Balaam curse Edom? And Moab, and all of those, did he say what was going to happen to them? Okay, now hold your place right there. Now, when when Moses came to Edom, now who is Edom? When he came to Petra?
Esau.
When he came to Esau's descendants, he asked permission to go through the road, the king's highway. That's what it says. It's the high road. Okay? The high road is the place that the kings would travel on, and they kept it maintained. And he said, oh, we're just going to go on the high road. We won't go off the side or anything else. If we drink any water or eat any grass, we're going to pay you for it. And what did the king of Edom say?
No.
No. And what did God tell Moses to do? Go on. Just go on. Go around another way. Go around another way. Now, why didn't God tell him to attack the king of Edom at that time? Why? Who is Edom?
Brother.
That's his brother. That's Esau. That's Jacob's brother. He said, this is your family. Leave them alone. Who are the Moabites? Huh? That's right. That's Abraham's nephew, the Moabites. All right. And we find out later on, after the Moabites committed some terrible sins against Israel, God said, get rid of them. And later on, they're going to overcome Esau's descendants, Edom, but not right now. They said, this is your brother, respect your brother. You have respect for your brother. Even though they don't have respect for you, you just treat him like your brother. Just go on, don't kill him right now. We're going to take care of it in the future. I'll just take care of it. Now let's go on from there. Who was reading? All right.
This one who was glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, might you say, why is your apparel red, and your garment like one who threads in the wine press? I have broadened the wine press along, and from the people, no one was listening. For I have broadened them in my anger, and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garment, and I have stained all of my robes. For the day of vengeance is my heart, and the year of my redeem has come. I looked, but there was no one to help. And I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm...
Arm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God was with himself. Is that through four now? Okay. All right. Through four. Okay. Now let's look at this. Go back to Matthew 2 now. Go back to Matthew, the second chapter. All right. We're going to figure this thing out. Now, who are the guys that came to Herod? Now, who is Herod? Herod is Edom. Just look how bad the devil has got involved here. We have a devil's prophet given a beautiful prophecy. All right? That's true. Okay? The devil's prophet give a true prophecy. That's Balaam. All right? Now, the Magi, which are descendants of Balaam, and probably some of them in the schools over there that Daniel spoke to, let's go back now and look at Matthew, the second chapter. All right, Brother Mike, are you over there? All right, let's go back and look at the whole thing. We're going to go right down from verse 1 through 7 and look at the whole thing.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold,
one of Edom, one of Edomite, now that's a king over Israel. Okay? They stepped in and usurped the throne. Was he supposed to be the king? No. Who was supposed to be the king? Joseph. What a mess. You think God can straighten it out? Brother Mike, go on.
Behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.
Does it make more sense today now that you read that? Huh? Number three.
And when Herod the king...
The Edomite.
He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
Why do you think he was troubled? He knew he was squatting on the wrong throne, didn't he? Uh-huh. He's afraid now. All right. Number four.
And gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet.
All right. We have all this written in different, many different places in the Old Testament. All right. And then verse number six.
And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.
All right. Now that was Micah. Micah 5 and 2. Okay. Micah 5 and 2. Is it making sense now? Are you tying it all together all the way from the old? Now, when we study the tabernacle, as we go back into studying the tabernacle, I hope that that means more to you now than it did, because this is prophecy, people. That's physical prophecy. That's what we call a parabolic prophecy. That's where we have something physical that represents something spiritual that will happen, okay? Number seven.
And Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared.
All right. How old should the child be? Who am I supposed to look to kill, to murder? Of course, here these are innocent people out of a foreign land. They've come to worship the king. They know that he is supposed to be born and everything. All right, number eight. Let's go on. Number eight, Mike.
And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child, and when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him.
Okay, now whose descendant lived in Bethlehem? Mary or Joseph's?
Mary.
Joseph. Joseph! He was of the lineage of David. Alright? And David's city was what? Bethlehem. Bethlehem means Bethlehem. What does it mean?
House of bread.
Beth. Beth. The second letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Beth, which stands for house. Alright? Alright. House of bread. Okay? Look back in history, in Old Testament history now. Where did the descendants that come from David's lineage, how did David get into this world?
Ruth was the great.
Ruth the what?
Ruth the Moabite.
Moabite. Who are the Moabites? Sons of Lot. All right. The sons of Lot's daughter, literally. All right. Here we are. They're all related, aren't they?
An incestuous
relationship. Lot's incestuous relationship. Because Lot wouldn't follow God, would he? He went and lived in the world. That's what he did. And God destroyed the world and took him out. And his wife wouldn't leave it. So he left her there as a pillar of what?
Salt.
Salt. All right. Okay. Number nine. Brother Mike.
And having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was.
Number 10.
And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way.
All right. Now, God was even dealing with these, wasn't he? God's Spirit was dealing with these pagans. All right? They had a good eye. They were of the Magi, of Balaam's group. All right? They were there. Now, did Daniel have to deal with these people when he was in Babylon? Sure he did. He was better than all them, wasn't he? He was better than the Magi. Couldn't interpret the dream. When Joseph was in Egypt, they had a Magi group there. Weren't they? They were called the diviners. They did the same thing. All right. Now, let's go back to Micah 5 and 2. Let's look at that. Micah 5 and 2. Who can find the book of Micah? Anybody can find that?
Micah 5 and
Terry, are you there? All right.
You Bethlehem. I can't pronounce that.
You're right.
Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times.
All right. Now that's the prophecy. We have all of these prophecies tied together, don't we? Now let's turn to Revelation. Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation chapter 19. Let's look at the end fulfillment. Revelation 19. All right, there in verse 19 and verse 1. By the way, I'm teaching the book of Revelation on Sunday afternoon from Greek. If you come in here, we're teaching that from the Greek. 19. What? From Greek. Okay. Now, let's look at 19 and verse 1 and 2 first. And then we're going to go on down to verse 11. Okay. Well, 1, 2, 3. Okay, 19. It starts out. How does it, who knows what it starts out in Greek? Marilyn, where are you? Not here. Meditate. After these things, how it starts out. Oh, David, you're here. You know that. Meditate. John keeps using that term. After these things. After what things? Lots of things. The whole book. The first 18 chapters. All right. After these things. All right. Who's there? You're there, Brett.
Okay. After these things I heard, a loud voice of great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory, and honor and power belong to the Lord.
All right.
God. Mm-hmm. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot, who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her.
All right. Number three. Read number three.
Again they said, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Her smoke rises up forever and
ever. All right. God is judging. God is judging now. He's judged the economical sinners, the economical system of the Antichrist. All right? That's the world power of the economic sinners.
What is hallelujah? Praise God.
Hallelujah means praise Jehovah. All right. Praise ye Jehovah. Now he's judged down. Now go all the way down to verse 11. Verse number 11. Okay. Brother Wally, are you there? Do you remember what that one is? You can probably quote that one, can't you?
Yeah. All right. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war.
All right. Hold on right there now. He's on a white horse. There we are, back to Basra. You go back to Numbers, the 24th chapter, and you will find out what in the world's going on here. All right? Numbers, the 24th chapter, you'll find out what's going on here. You go back in Isaiah 63, 1 through 4. All right? All of these are all tied together. And this is prophecy. Do we know what Jesus is going to do in the end time?
Yeah. Idea,
yeah.
There was an old janitor that was took care of a gymnasium there next to the seminary. And this old janitor, he was in there every day. He'd be reading the book. And these, you know how young seminary students are. I don't know if you've ever been around any of them. I had to put up with them for 12 years. I was one of them for a while. They know everything. They're kind of a cross between a skunk and a computer. You know what a skunk and a computer cross is? That's a stinking know-it-all. All right? All right. And they came over to the old guy, and he's reading the book of Revelation. And he says, do you know what that means? And he looked at him, and he said, yeah, I know what it means. He just went down and started reading again. They said, well, tell us what it means. If you know what it means, he says, Jesus wins. That's what it means. Jesus wins. Now let's go on a little bit further now. All right, let's go on down here a little further. Number 12. Number 12, Brother John.
And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates.
Are you 19 in verse 11?
Nope.
12?
Oh, you want that one.
12, yeah.
I really like that.
That's nice. That's New Jerusalem.
Verse 12. Yeah. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except for himself.
All right, now, let's go back and look at this, because this in beautiful in Greek, it tells the story. Okay? And his eyes were like a flame of Petros. How many of you used to have Piris? How many of you ever played marbles when you were little? Piris. Petros. That's the Greek word, because it's fiery. Looks through it, okay? His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. Is that thing clicking? It is?
Oh, it's still going.
All right. Many diadems. All right. Crown is Stephanos. This is not crown. This comes right out of Greek. Diadems. Diademos. All right. When Alexander the Great was conquering, you know, for about 14 years, he's conquered everything in front of him and some things behind him. He conquered, and every time that he would go into a different area, they would tie a ribbon that represented to have the name of that area on that ribbon. Okay? It said he, in verse 12, it says, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head are many diadems from all the countries, like ribbons stringing from his crown. All right? The ribbons are coming from his crown, showing the different areas that he has conquered. And if you want to know what and find out what he's going to conquer, go back in the 24th chapter of Numbers. And you'll see all of these things. Okay? All right, I don't think we don't have time to go back today. Brother John.
13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
All right, the Word of God. If you go on and you listen to this rabbi read the Old Testament, when he comes to the name Jehovah Elohim, he will say Adonai Elohim. Adonai Elohim. He will not say the name Jehovah. No Jew will say the name of God. Did you know that? It's in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's in there. What's it say, brother?
The Word of Jehovah?
Yeah, the Word of Jehovah. The Word Jehovah. All right? Actually, what it says, it should be Jehovah Elohim. That's what it should say. Because Jehovah is the Word. The Jews, after they received the law in the Old Testament, I'm keeping emphasizing this to you. One of the commandments said, "Thou shalt not use the Lord thy name's God, the Lord thy God's name, in what?
In
vain." From that time on, they didn't speak His name. They wouldn't use the name of God at all. They would refer to Him as Elohim, or they would call Him the Bar, the Word, Adonai, or the name. Okay. One of these things, they would refer to God, but they never spoke His name again. They never spoke His name again. So who is this? This is Jehovah. John 1:14. Kai ho logos sarx aganato. And the Jehovah flesh He became. That's who it was. All right. You had it there, brother. Kai ho logos sarx aganato. All right. Go on now a little bit further.
And the armies in heaven clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations, and He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God.
All right, God Almighty. Elohim El Shaddai. Psalm 23 says what? Brother Wally.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want. He feeds me. That's David's idea of heaven. Did you know Psalm 23 is David's interpretation of heaven as a shepherd? All right. John the 10th chapter says what? I am the what? I am the good shepherd. All right. Now the word El Shaddai means what? El Shaddai. El is El what?
The nourishing one. All nourishing.
El is what?
God.
God. All right. Shaddai. It means all-powerful, almighty, but what does it entail? Is the one that is almighty and powerful and able to feed you. Because it comes from the term woman's breast was shad. The mother feeds the child. The nourishment of the child comes from its mother. And that's what it shows God as. God, Elohim, El Shaddai. 16. Number 16, Luis.
And he had upon his mantle and upon his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Master of Masters.
All right. What is the Hebrew word for that? What is the Hebrew word for this?
Adonai.
Adonai means what? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what it's talking about. And Adonai is completely cross-referenced in the Old Testament to whom? Jehovah. So here we have it. Now, who wrote the book of Revelation? Let's interpret it. John was a writer. What nationality was John? He was a Jew. Now, he wrote the book in Greek, but he used Hebrew terms and figures of speech. Who wrote the gospel according to John?
John.
All right. Good. Who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? John. In all of these books, what did he preeminently portray? Jesus as absolute deity, Adonai, Jehovah Elohim, El Shaddai, El Elyon. All of the Jehovah titles, Jesus fulfilled, and we see him completely fulfilled, finally and infinitely, in the book of Revelation. And it all started out with a Balaam's prophecy from the book of Numbers. All right. Thank you for your interest and your attention today. I apologize for last Sunday morning. I was so sick I could hardly be here. Thank you for your prayers. I needed them this week.